If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd encourage you to turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18 is where we're going to be studying and looking at what the Lord would have for us this morning as we continue in our series called Resurrection. And just thankful for everything that God has been doing through this series up to this point. But it had been an extremely agonizing night already, but it was about to become even more painful after what had just happened. He was alone, he was left in anguish, his Savior was now in the hands of the authorities, and his allegiance to Jesus had been shattered with his own words. He had been warned that this would happen, but when it was spoken to him, when Jesus told him this would take place, he didn't believe it. He didn't want to receive it. He thought never in his life would he ever do what he had just done. He felt his love for Jesus was too strong to let anything like this ever happen. He thought that he would do anything in defense of Jesus. In fact, just a few moments ago, he tried to defend Jesus in the garden when he attacked the guard that had come to arrest him. Yet Jesus stopped him and reversed the damage that had been done. Before that, when warned of his future actions, he even said the words to Jesus that he would die for his Savior. And the rest of the disciples chimed in and said, absolutely, we would never do that. We will die for you. Yet there he is, there he was, weeping bitterly because of what just happened. In fact, if not for the crow of the rooster, he might have continued in his angry fit, his angry rage of denial. Peter had denied, had disowned the Lord in a moment when the pressure was on. Now, how could anyone do such a thing? In John 18, it tells us the story of Peter blatantly denying any association with Jesus Christ. In fact, we know the story. It wasn't just once, it wasn't just twice, but Jesus was on trial, and Peter would deny him three times, just as Jesus said he would. A servant girl sees Peter standing in the courtyards after Christ had been arrested, and Peter did not go in with him. We see this in verse 18 of John, or excuse me, 17 of John 18, and he's asked this question: "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" And Peter looks at her and he replies, as a matter of fact, he says, "I am not." In John 18, verse 25, it says that Peter was still standing there warming himself. It was a cool night, there was a fire nearby, and so he's trying to get some warmth, and they asked him again, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it a second time, saying, "I am not." Moving on to verses 26 and 27, it says, "One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, 'Didn't I see you with him in the garden?'" In verse 27, again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Why is it significant that the rooster is mentioned? Because Jesus had told Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter had failed. Peter had done exactly what the Lord said would happen. He caved under the pressure and now finds himself weeping bitterly for what had just taken place. Peter loved Jesus. But in the moment, church, when the heat was turned up, Peter's love of himself overrode his love for Jesus. Peter had come to Jesus' defense in past situations, true enough, but in this moment, the pressure, the intensity, it was on Peter and not on Jesus. He was being backed into a corner, and he didn't like it. Easter is now 3 weeks away. Isn't that hard to believe? And as we journey closer to that day, we have been in the message, in the series called Resurrection. And so we might be scratching our heads saying, how does Peter's denial of Christ fit in to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? We're going to get there here in just a moment. But so far this journey, we have seen God do amazing things in our times of prayer. We have seen strongholds come down. Hallelujah. We have seen new breath breathe into lifeless situations. We have seen numerous salvations and rededications, and we've even seen water baptisms. Amen. And the best part is God isn't finished yet. I believe there is more resurrections on the way. And what does Peter's denial have to do with the resurrection power of Jesus? Let's talk about this for just a moment. Peter had walked and talked with Jesus. Right? He had literally spent time in the physical presence of our Lord and Savior. Peter had walked away from everything that he knew to follow after Jesus. But we see in this one moment, church, that when the pressure is turned up, when the heat is beginning to intensify, that Peter falls. He fails Jesus. He denies Jesus in the action, or in both action and in word. And when we read this story, our heart is breaking, both for Jesus but also for Peter. We feel bad for this guy because we know that the hour was intense. Peter had admitted to his relationship, or had had Peter admitted to his relationship with Jesus, he may have faced the same consequences that Jesus was now facing for his faith. Think of the moment for just a second, church. Jesus is now in the hands of the authority, and the authorities have been targeting Jesus for some time now. Correct? We see through the Gospels that the high priest and the authorities of the day were constantly trying to trap Jesus with his words. They were constantly trying to come against him, to shut him down. In some cases, it was made known to the crowd that their intent was to kill Jesus, to silence him. So this is an intense situation, as now Jesus is in the hands of the authority, and Peter is facing the question or the thought, if I explain my allegiance to Jesus, am I going to end up in the same place he is in this hour? And it's easy for us as the reader to look at this situation and say, well, if I had been that Peter guy, I tell you what, when that girl come out, I'd be looking at her and says, you better believe I knew Jesus Christ. By golly, if I was standing there by that fire and somebody come up and say, do you know Jesus? Why, yes, I do. And I'd give them a sermon, I tell you what. I'm not trying to make light of a situation, but guys, I want us to understand something, that when we face those moments, we battle against many emotions that might come against or might try to lure us away from claiming our allegiance to Jesus. And in Peter's case, he's afraid. Fear had taken Peter from being a disciple to being a denier of Jesus in a matter of seconds. And I want us to understand something this morning, that fear is something that we have all experienced and something that we all know of well. It is not something that we celebrate, amen? Anybody like being afraid? No. I'm a roller coaster junkie. I mean, I put myself in that situation, right? I'll never forget riding, I think the name of it's the Mamba, up in Worlds of Fun. It's the real tall one. Anybody ever been to Worlds of Fun know what I'm talking about? Anybody need a cup of coffee? We all look kind of sleepy this morning. It's daylight savings, right? But I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be brave. I hadn't been on a roller coaster for years, right? And I'm riding this thing, and we're climbing this hill, and I'm looking, and I see the observation tower is getting smaller and smaller. And so I was like, what did I do? Well, you're in it now. I mean, you just might as well enjoy the ride. But that moment, what's interesting is that moment of fear is kind of erased by the adrenaline rush and screaming your guts out and trying to. I've never been able to raise my hands. First, they always get the harness too tight. But second, it's, anyway. That's, I guess, call that a controlled fear. We know what we're stepping into, right? But we don't want to be afraid. We don't like that idea of being afraid. It's something that we don't celebrate, but sometimes we'll tolerate it. And something that I've learned in my life is that fear only has as much power as I give it. And here is something that is crazy for us to consider. Almost all fears are learned fears. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion that is caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Fear is not something anyone ever enjoys. It is a warning system of sorts, a red flag that steers us away from harm, but if left unchecked, it can do a lot of damage in our lives, especially in the area of our faith. Peter didn't know what would happen, but he gave in to his fear. Peter had pledged to die for Jesus, but he gave in to his fear. Peter had stepped in and tried to defend Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, but now he gives in to his fear. The thought of denying our walk and our relationship with Christ seems absurd. No one, I believe, would ever vocalize such a denial, yet because of fear, denial happens far more often than we think through the same means by which Peter denied Jesus, through action and through word. Church, listen to me. There are many more ways to deny our faith than we would think. I think it'd be safe to say that no one in the room would outright say, I don't know Jesus, or I think God is silly and he's a made-up fictional character. I don't think that is something that I'd have to worry about hearing from anyone here today. However, if our words do not line up with our claim to faith, are we not denying the Lord? Let me explain. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, a passage I go to quite often in my times of study or in just times of trial and such. We are to trust in God, amen, with all of our heart, and lean not on our own understanding. But watch this. We are to acknowledge Him in what? In all our ways. And in doing so, He will make our path straight. Our trust and our faith in God is displayed through our acknowledgement of Him. Listen, friends, we might not curse ourselves or others as Peter did in a show of hateful behavior as the pressure became more intense and the fear got the best of him. But if our behaviors and our actions and our attitudes do not line up with our claim to faith, are we not denying the Lord? 1 John tells us in chapter 1, verse 5, that the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What is this saying? If we say one thing but do another, we lie and do not practice the truth. What would cause a believer to not practice the truth? One strong possibility is fear. You see, in this moment, Peter is experiencing an uncontrollable fear that gets the best of him. He's in a moment where these questions are being asked. His Savior is now on trial, and he's looking out for his own skin. Hello? He's unsure of the future. And so he begins to backtrack and to do what he feels is the necessary thing to do. Church, can I tell you, we need to, in times of pressure, when the heat is turned up, when the world is watching and in a sense asking, do we believe in God? Answer with a sure and firm, yes, I do. But such an answer is not necessarily that we speak out directly, but we live out every single day. Do you believe in God? Do your actions signify your belief in God? Do the words that you speak to others signify that you believe in Jesus Christ? Let's look again back to fears this morning as we look at most fears are learned fears, which makes me ask the question, what fears then are we born with? We all know that we have the capacity to fear. Everyone knows what it means to be afraid. Anybody not know what it feels or feels like to be afraid? If not, I want to know your secret. I'd love to. We all know what that feels like. But what fears are we naturally programmed with in our minds? Some would suggest there are two fears that we are born with. One is the fear of falling, and the other is the fear of loud noises. But this is being challenged, saying these aren't actually fears, these are reflexes. I'm kind of a spooky person, and my wife loves that. I hate it, but she loves it. Why? Because I might be walking through the house at night, and I'll go downstairs to check on the boys and make sure that everybody's tucked in and, you know, sleeping and everything's good to go, and I'll come back upstairs and she will have gotten out of bed and hide behind a corner. And you think that after, you know, the 51st or 52nd time she's done this, I would learn, right? And I'll come around the refrigerator after coming up the stairs, and she doesn't even have to be loud. All she's got to do is just, whoa, come on, right? And I've learned, because in that reaction, and as people have learned that about me, to keep my arms down. Why do I say that? Because one time out in Eldon, I was working in the sound booth, and we were rerunning some lines, and I was underneath the table, and it was kind of similar. There was a wall in front of the sound booth, and one of my deacons had walked in, and I don't know how long he had been sitting there waiting for me to come out of that door. But as he shouted boo, the arms flew up and just about uppercutted the guy. I'm a spooky person, you know? And they say in some circles that fear of loud noises, that boo, that suddenness, is a reflex. At least that's what I'm going to tell my wife. It's not fear, honey. I'm not afraid. It's a reflex. It's a reflex. Or the fear of falling. We reach that point, you know, you might lose your balance and you're able to catch yourself. But we all know what it feels like when we know that there's no way I'm going to catch my balance. I better brace for impact. Hello? Right? We don't naturally just allow ourselves to fall without doing what? Trying to catch ourselves. If you want to wake somebody up that's sitting in a chair in kind of a humorous manner, just start, you know, creeping them back. Don't do this. This is terrible. I shouldn't say that. Scratch that from the recording. No, I'm not encouraging you to start tipping somebody back in their chair and watch them jump up and scream. Anyway, but we know what that is. It's a reflex. We don't want to fall. Why? Because we know what's on the receiving end of that situation. We don't want to get hurt. So it's up for discussion as to what fears we are born with. But most would agree, most fears are learned fears. Other circles would agree with that statement as well. And these fears are learned either through what we witness or what we personally experience. These situations create within us these fears. In Peter's case, he had just witnessed Jesus being arrested for his message. And he is now on trial and his life is in jeopardy. So Peter is associating what had happened to Jesus as a possible or plausible outcome for his own life, and fear is kicking in. So what kind of fears do we face today as believers that would cause us to possibly verbally or behaviorally deny Jesus? Possibly the fear of rejection. No one likes being rejected. No one likes being turned away. If one talks about their faith and the recipient does not receive it, rejection is a possibility. What about the fear of the culturally unpopular message? How does the world silence the voice of believers? By calling names, by going back on their claim of being tolerant. One of the things that leaves me confused is a world that is so actively preaching a message of tolerance that won't tolerate Christianity. That's a whole nother story, a whole nother time. But these are powerful tools in the hand of our enemy today, as Christianity is being called old-fashioned or out of touch or irrelevant or fictional and even oppressive. And such might cause believers to try to back down. But I want us to understand something this morning. It is a cry for help from a dying and hurting world. Why can I say that? It's because most of the time when someone is lashing out, it's because they're hurting inside. What about the fear of persecution? No one likes the idea of being persecuted, yet it happens all around this world. People are, at different levels, being treated poorly for their faith. So whatever the label is this morning, church, fear can wreak havoc on faith. And understand something again this morning, that fear does not come from our God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I pray today that that encourages you. Why? Because fear may be at the root of Peter's denial, or might be at the root of why we would actively or behaviorally deny our Savior. But understand, knowing that it doesn't come from God means that we can receive resources from God to help overcome these fears. The enemy wants to trap us in fear today. Why? Because you have a message to give. You have a story to tell. You have a faith to live out. But if the enemy can come in and clamp you up, back you into a corner, and make you feel afraid of proclaiming the message, then the world remains in a position of darkness as God's light is standing in the corner. God has called us, hear me, church, to engage this world for the cause of Christ. And he has called us this morning to rise up and to take a step of faith. But I can tell you right now, church, as our world becomes more hostile, let me back that up. The world is receiving the Bible and receiving Christianity in record numbers today. It is our Western culture that is becoming more hostile to the good news. Do you understand that nations like Africa are now sending missionaries to America? That which used to be known as a Christian nation is beginning to deny that God is even a part of its foundation. I understand that the rhetoric and the name calling and all of these things are intensifying, but so then should our love for those around us. Why? Because without Jesus, they will perish. Hello? Come on. Without Jesus, they will perish. Without Jesus, I would perish. And so we actively engage our world. We allow Jesus to move in us and through us, and we do not allow the spirit of fear to rule the day, but we step out in faith and say, "I am moving forward for Jesus." When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we see that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but what is it that he gives us? A spirit of power. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 1. We receive love. God himself is love. Hallelujah. And when he moves in, love comes with him. He gives us a sound mind. God is not the author of confusion. And many fears result from the unknown. But God knows all and is willing to guide and direct us through his Holy Spirit. What does this all mean? That we can both talk the talk and walk the walk with the absence of fear if we'll step out in faith. The Holy Spirit is the key. He is the key to not denying Jesus with our words or actions. And every day I pray that everything I say and do would glorify Jesus. How many would share that same desire today? God, may everything I say and do bring glory and honor to your name. I don't want fear to get in the way of bringing honor and glory to my God, even if a threat to my personal well-being exists. So how do we recover? We look at the example of Peter, who fell to his fear and found himself weeping bitterly because of his fear. He was in a place that he never thought he would be in, church. Ever been there? Come on, let's be true. Anybody ever been in a place spiritually where you look back and say, how did I get here? Any of us? Peter's in this position, and he's weeping, and he's remorseful for what had happened. And we know the story. Jesus is crucified and is risen from the grave. And something remarkable is going to happen before Jesus ascends into heaven. Peter and the disciples are fishing, and they're enjoying a nice morning, but the fishing thing just isn't working very well. They're in the boat, they're casting the net, and nothing's coming up, and somebody comes walking up on the beach and says, hey, why don't you throw your net on the other side of the boat? And I can already hear the chatter in the boat. I mean, who is this guy? Throw the net on the other side of the boat. We've been fishing out here. Okay, thank you. We've been out here all day. What's he doing? Sorry, it's just the way my imagination rolls. I know. But they do exactly as he says, and they bring the net in, they throw it on the other side of the boat, and Scripture tells us that the catch is so large, they can't hardly pull it in to the boat. That's got their attention. They realize the guy on the beach is Jesus. Hello! So they go, and they spend time with him, and as they're making breakfast out of the fish that they had just caught, Jesus does something remarkable with the disciple who had once denied him. He asks him a pointed question. Do you love me? Peter responds, well, yes, Lord, I do. And Jesus responds, feed my sheep. Look at it in John, I believe it's 21. You want to look at the story. Jesus asks a second time, do you love me? Peter responds, yes, I do. A third time, do you love me? And at this point, Peter's getting a little frustrated. He says, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus gives his answer. What is Jesus doing in this moment? Three times Peter had denied Christ. Three times Jesus had just reinstated Peter, had raised him back up. Aren't you thankful for the grace of our God today? Jesus didn't leave Peter in that position. Didn't leave him in that position of brokenness. And Peter was broken. He was hurt. He was annoyed with himself. Ever been there? What was I doing? He's in this position where he was remorseful for what he had done. Christ comes on the scene and raises him back up. God isn't finished with this guy yet. Because we see a little bit later on in Scripture, after Jesus does ascend into heaven, Peter gives a remarkable sermon on the streets in Jerusalem, to which over 3,000 people get saved. He goes from denier to reinstated to now street preacher. But there's one key in the middle of all this that I've left out of the story. Before he hit the streets, he received a gift from God that gave him the power to be able to speak with the anointing and authority of our Lord and Savior, and that was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. He is baptized with fire, baptized with power, and the fears that once kept Peter from doing what God had called him to do have been now eradicated by the power of the living God within his heart. Listen to me, friends. This is a mission we cannot do on our own. Nor should we want to do this mission on our own. If left to me, I'll speak of myself. I am going to mess it up. I am going to have stumbling issues. It's just me. I'm not trying to speak. The flesh is weak. There's a lot of things out there. You get the idea. But here's the thing. God has given us resources so that we can overcome our fear, so that we can overcome our shortcomings. And his name is Jesus. His name is the Holy Spirit. And we have access today to the most remarkable power this world has ever seen. But we have to be willing to approach God, say, God, fill me. Pour into me this power. The mission that's been given to us to reach the lost, to make disciples, is a God-sized mission. Amen? That's going to require a God-sized power to get it done. And my prayer for each and every one of us in this room is that as we step out in faith, as we make that decision to do as Christ is calling us to do, that we would rely on Jesus Christ and His power through the Holy Spirit to help get the job done. So that when we face obstacles, when we face situations where we might be tempted to maybe back down, maybe the world is trying to back you into a corner, maybe somebody has tried to put the pressure on or put the heat on your faith, can I tell you something this morning? Stand firm in Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and to walk with you in that moment. And here's the other temptation. The other temptation is to get angry or to get defensive in these situations. Listen to me, church. I've seen too many social media posts where somebody will present a Christian idea and somebody will get on there and sling their trash, and then believers start attacking. How many know what I'm talking about? Believers start attacking. Well, if you would, it's just like, stop it. We're not here to condemn the world. We are here to be the love of Jesus Christ. Hello? God has given us amazing resources, amazing tools to be able to do the work that He has called us to do. This last week, as we talk about stepping out in faith and not allowing fear to cause us from doing, keep us from doing what God has called us to do. This last week, I was told of an awesome display of faith that took place that moved the hearts of my children and came from an arena that I didn't expect it to come from. And that was our school. As I hear the story of a pinky prayer, let me know what I'm talking about this morning. A pinky prayer. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone or anything. My kids come home just energized. Dad, you know all this talk that we can't pray in school? Yeah, what's going on? We prayed in school. You're kidding me. We prayed in school. My little girl was amazed. Sammy also was amazed at what had taken place because someone took a step of faith. I won't name names, Darren, but someone took a step of faith. We need more of that. And I applaud you for your faith today. And I believe in my heart that those that were prayed for on that gymnasium floor are going to be healed. In Jesus' name. I have no doubt. Hello? Amen. You see, if the enemy can keep us in fear, moments like that don't happen. Hello? Amen. But when we take that step and we say, okay, God, I'll go where you're calling me to go. Miracles happen. Hello? Miracles happen. A miracle happened in my home because of that. As two of my children come home and witness a display of faith that they want to live up to, I can do that too. Are you following me? So my prayer for my heart, I know that we've been talking about fear and we've been talking, my prayer for my heart is exactly what we, I don't want anything to ever be in my life that would cause me to stumble or cause me to not step out as God is calling me to step out. I want to be that living sacrifice that Christ has called me to be. That means I have got to, one, watch my words, watch my posts, Watch my attitudes, because words are one form of a communication, but the attitude behind it speaks a whole lot more, church. Hello? It means I've got to watch my behaviors. It means I've got to watch the way I present myself and the way I handle myself. And not just in the public arena, but the way I talk to my kids and the way I talk to my wife and the way I operate in my home and the things I allow on my TV screen. Hello? I don't want to deny Jesus. I don't want fear to ever be a reason of me coming in and denying what God has done in me. He has set me free, church. And I want the world to experience all that I have experienced in Jesus. So therefore, I stand in faith today with the Holy Spirit as my help, as the Holy Spirit as my source of power, and say, I will move forward as Jesus has called me to go. And I pray that that is your prayer for your life today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as we get ready to wrap up this morning. If I could have some help on the keyboard today as we pray. Peter denied Jesus, but Jesus raised him back up, resurrected him back to a position of ministry, forgave him through his awesome grace. And today, if you're in this place and you say, man, Pastor, I have fallen. There are some things in my life I recognize this morning. I have denied Jesus in areas of my life. And there are some things today I need to get under the blood. There are some things today that I need to ask Jesus for forgiveness. I need to get my heart right with God. And just as Jesus reinstated Peter, just as Jesus raised him back up, he wants to raise you back up in this place. But you've got to be willing to say, God, I've messed up. But today, I'm asking for your forgiveness today. I want you to come into my life and to help me not ever do that again. I give you my whole life, my whole self, my whole heart, my whole mind. Transform me.